This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Teacher Diversity Index, pioneered by the Center for American Progress, ranks states on percentage point differences between teachers and students of color and recently concluded that the gap continues to widen. Almost every state has a diversity gap, and the largest in the nation is here in California, where 73% of students are non-white, while about 29% of teachers are non-white. The most rapidly growing segment of the United States population is communities of color. So what can and ought to be done to repair what the Center for American Progress calls the leaky pipeline for teachers of color? We want to take that up with our guest, Ulrich Boser, who is with us by phone this morning. He's senior fellow for the Center for American Progress and an author on the report, Teacher Diversity Revisited, a New State-by-State Analysis. Ulrich Boser, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you, and not very pleased about California being at the bottom of this. Let's just talk for a moment about your methodology, because you're revisiting this. You went and started this, as I said, earlier on. What was back in 2011, yes?
That's correct, and we've found that the problem is growing worse. The diversity between teachers and the diversity of students is widening, and we see that in the nation overall, and we see that in California as well.
Well, when you determine this, is it just all colors, for example? Or are you trying to – because I noticed that the biggest gap is in Hispanic teachers or those of Hispanic background. Does class figure in this at all, or is it just these are white people, these are people of color?
So for our project, we did define and look at people who are white versus people who are non-white. And we really just wanted to get an easy way to put this on the table. When you dig into the data more deeply, whether it's in California or other states, you see that the issue is very much a local one, so that in some areas the diversity gap might be between Hispanics and non-Hispanics. On other areas, it really revolves around African Americans. Asians, of course, also play a role here. So, you know, what we want to do is really push this into the public conversation, but be very clear that this is a local issue and that the solutions will also have to be local. It's up for states and districts to really try and figure out the best way to grapple with this.
Well, some of the biggest gaps are within the districts, we should point out here. But I'm also interested in sort of the way you position this. It seems to be based, that is a report as I read it, on the notion very firmly that students do better academically. Students of color do better when they're taught by teachers of color.
I think there's two big issues here, right? And they get to, you know, why does this matter? Absolutely right. You know, one of the issues here and one of the reasons that this is an important issue for us to focus on is that students of color tend to do better with teachers of color. Research strongly suggests that they have better graduation rates, they have better test scores. Teachers of color serve as role models in schools. They understand where those students are coming from. But there's a second reason that this is such an important issue, and that's that, you know, we are a country that's built on the idea of out of many come one, and we need students who can interact with and communicate with students who are different than them. And so that means even in areas that might be predominantly white, it's important for those students to see teachers of color, to interact with teachers of color. So this isn't just an issue for areas that are very diverse. It's an issue for our nation at large. It's an issue for places that might not necessarily see themselves as being very diverse, because we need students to go through school to learn how to be good citizens and to learn how to act and interact with people who are different than them. And that, of course, goes beyond race to issues of class, to issues to being exposed to different ideas. But in this report, we really did try to highlight what we see as this growing problem, a problem that doesn't seem to be going away, and that is the gap between the diversity of teachers and the diversity of students.
And let's talk about what may be behind this gap. That is the reason there are so few teachers of color, as you call them in the report, the large racial gaps. It has to do with market forces in part, doesn't it? And it has to do with the fact that there are simply fewer college graduates of color.
That's absolutely right. There's a lot going into this. So some of the problem is simply because we see these demographic changes where, for reasons of immigration and others, we see a much more diverse student body. And then when we look at, you know, what can we control here? What can we do to make sure our teaching workforce is more diverse? Some of it is simple market forces, the way that the teaching profession is structured is such that people tend to stay in for long periods of time. That's different than what we see in, say, the tech sector or journalism or marketing, where people might go into the profession for 4 or 5 years and then move on to something else. The way that the teaching profession is structured is such that people tend to stay for decades. And so we now see in many areas that the teacher workforce really looks like it meandered out of the 1950s, right, where it's overwhelmingly white, but then the students who are in the front of the classroom are very diverse. Now, we have seen efforts that are successful to address this, programs that offer monetary incentives to teachers to go into the workforce, really attracting our best and brightest students of color to pursue teaching. We've also seen programs that are effective that are grow your own programs, right? So maybe in a district like Oakland, where they reach out to people in the community, maybe they're working in business, maybe they're working in pharmaceuticals, and saying, look, maybe you're looking for another career, and maybe teaching is right for you. And that's another way that we found districts trying to grapple successfully with this issue and attract more teachers of color.
We're talking with Ulrich Boser. He's a senior fellow with the Center for American Progress, also author of the report Teacher Diversity Revisited, a new state-by-state analysis. And what states and districts can do, I think you're suggesting to me here, Ulrich Boser, is they can target training for teachers of color. They can provide financial incentives. They can also maybe get some kind of a teaching corps in order. But there's also a need for federal government financial aid here, for more funding for low-income students to actually become educators.
Absolutely. The federal government can take steps here to offer more incentives to teachers of color. I think it is important that ultimately we really see this as a local issue, that it is up to districts themselves that have these large gaps. When you look just in the Bay Area, it does really diverse. So you can look at Sonoma Valley Unified, and you see these very large gaps, 45 percentage points between the difference of Hispanic teachers and Hispanic students. So, you know, it's going to be up to then these individual districts, but certainly the federal government can play a role here through overall programs. Also, just having more students of color move through the pipeline is going to be very important. There's also simply a bigger issue here. For a long time, women of color, and the teaching workforce is predominantly female, women of color really did not have many career choices, right? Decades ago, they either could become teachers or nurses. Today, they have really every career open to them, and they don't see teaching as appealing. So what are we going to sort of do about that to really think about that?
That's a big hovering question. I mean, you know, how to the general lack of self-esteem for teachers and, frankly, the low pay for teachers. I mean, these are things that have to be taken up if you're going to increase the diversity, as you so clearly want to do. And I want to just ask you also, where you also see other striking gaps here in the Bay Area?
We saw other, you know, striking gaps. I mean, certainly the Sonoma Valley was one that really jumped out at us. When you look at San Francisco in particular, you saw, you know, right now around 89% of the students identify themselves as non-white, and 53% of the teachers identify themselves as non-white. So again, a gap there, but less having to do with Hispanics and more having to do with people who either identify themselves as multiracial, which is an important category. But again, you see these gaps between how the teachers identify themselves in terms of their race and how the students identify themselves. But again, it's very localized to the demographics, to the type of community that we see. Then the other issue that you raise is an important one, is just pay, right? We've seen other data in San Francisco where it's simply very hard to afford good housing on what we see as a teacher salary. But more broadly for the Bay Area, there's a second issue, and that's just the culture of schools. You know, we know that teachers don't go into teaching because they see themselves, they don't go into teaching necessarily to make $1 million. I think it's important that we need to raise salaries. But the second issue on top of that is just the culture of schools. What we see in the data is that teachers of color are more sensitive to the culture of schools, to the structure of the workplace. So it's important that we offer them meaningful career ladders so that they can move up and feel like they're rewarded in their career, that they have good leadership, that they feel supported, that they're really growing as professionals is very important for teachers of color, because we also see that they tend to leave the profession more than white teachers. So this is, again, a complicated issue. There's a number of policy and programmatic levers that we can identify here, whether it's salary, culture, and money, of course, you know, playing a role here, but also then, you know, what do school districts look like, and how can they really take steps to attract the best and brightest of people of color?
Ulrich Boser with us from the nation's capital. He's senior fellow with the Center for American Progress and also an author of the report Teacher Diversity Revisited, a new state-by-state analysis. So I'd like to bring our listeners into this discussion, and if you have something you'd like to contribute to the discussion, we welcome your calls and emails, and you might want to, well, the study, as you're hearing about here, do these results concern you? How important is diversity in the teacher workforce? I mean, this is certainly at the heart of a question to ask about this study and your response to it. Again, in California, 72% of students are of color. In contrast, only about 29% of teachers are of color, and that's a gap of more than 43 percentage points. How concerned are you about that is really, I think, the major question here. And you may want to join us with questions or comments for Ulrich Boser. Our toll-free number is available now. It's 866-733-6786. Again, talking about too few teachers of color in public schools, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, and you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. A lot of ways to join us, and we do welcome your involvement in the program. One thing that I wanted, before we get to callers and emails here, Ulrich Boser, teacher trainees of color, as I understand it, score lower on licensure exams, and they leave teaching at a much higher rate. I mean, those are two kind of problems that are really quite formidable in this whole mix.
Those are really quite formidable. And that's why we talked about this as a leaky pipeline for teachers of color. Starting, you know, very early on, we see in the data that people of color are scoring less on standardized tests than their white peers. But nonetheless, when we look sort of at the end, you know, there are, you know, very, very bright, very well-qualified people of color, and they're choosing not to go into teaching as a profession. And so what do we do to attract those teachers? How can we make sure that, you know, very early in the college pipeline that we can identify people who would be strong candidates, who can easily pass those exams? The answer here is not to lower the academic bar. The answer is to say, you know, what can we do to attract these high-flying people of color, make sure that they see teaching as a way to give back to their community, and also as a career that is, you know, held in well-respected, and gives them the money that they can raise a family on and be part of the middle class.
Let's go to you, our callers, and we'll begin, Brad, with you. You're on the air. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Michael. Hey, you know, I'm really concerned about this conversation. You know, it seems that this guy is making a strong case for segregation in school, saying that black kids learn better from black teachers, white kids learn better from white teachers. I think if we want integrated schools, like I want, we need to have more tolerance for students to learn from white teachers to teach kids of color, and so on and so forth. And this is really the wrong way of looking at it, in my opinion.
And we'll get your response to that, Ulrich Boser.
I think that's a great point. I think when people hear this conversation, they think of issues around segregation, and we are by no means arguing that we need a one-to-one, we don't need every black student to be taught by a black teacher or every Hispanic student to be taught by a Hispanic teacher. But again, let's just take a look at Sonoma Valley Unified, where you see a 45 percentage point gap between the students and the teachers. And so really what we're trying to highlight is that when you look and were to enter into that district, I haven't visited Sonoma Valley. Just want to make that clear. We see this simply in the data. But, you know, just to take a hypothetical, if you look around and look at the classroom, what we see there is that almost half of the students are in fact Hispanic. But when you were to visit the teacher faculty room, you would see very, very few Hispanic teachers. And so our argument is not by any means trying to suggest that we need to go to segregation by any means.
Well, what
There's
about
no discussion of quotas in this report or anything?
I was just going to say
raising this issue of, yeah, you know, these very, very large gaps.
There are going to be people who will see this as perhaps sending out colors, high colors again, certainly encouraging quotas to some degree. I mean, what we want above all is great teachers, right?
What we want above all is great teachers. We want teachers who can engage students, who can effectively teach to them, effectively teach to students from different backgrounds, right? I mean, you know, we can talk about the diversity of students, but the fact is, you know, teachers are going to have Tommy and Juan and students from simply different backgrounds in their classroom. So how do they differentiate instruction in ways that are meaningful? What I saw underscored by your caller's point is that what we do want and is important is for people broadly to interact with people that are different than them. And we want people to engage and be able to work and cooperate with people who might not share their skin color. So I think we share an overall sort of goal, and that is that to maintain our nation's social fabric, we need to make sure that we have integrated schools. And what that means is that the teaching workforce is integrated as well as the student body.
And we go to more of our callers. Diego, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. Just from personal experience, I am a Latino, and I had two Latino teachers in middle school and in high school. And I just feel like from personal experience, you relate better. You know, my mom was an immigrant. You know, she cleaned houses at the very beginning, and it really means a lot to have a teacher with personal experience, and you relate better, and I feel like you learn better just from personal experience. So, you know, I do appreciate the work that's happening, and here in Oakland, I think the numbers are pretty astonishing. 50% of the student body in OUSD are Latinos, but they only make up less than 10% of the teaching force. And the numbers are almost as bad for African Americans and Asians as well.
If you think those numbers are bad, you should look down in Santa Ana or the L.A. Unified School District, I mean, in Southern California, as far as Hispanics are concerned. And, Diego, good to hear from you this morning. I appreciate your calling in. I want to bring some more callers in. Perry, you're next. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I taught for 30 years in high school, both in a heavily minority community in San Bernardino, California, in Southern California, and also for many years up here in Napa. And I was department chair for many years, and I interviewed so many candidates for positions. And what I found overwhelmingly was, and it was really disturbing to me, was my brightest students, since I tended to teach advanced placement for many years, my brightest students would tell me over and over again that when I asked them, have you considered a career in teaching, I think you'd be excellent to think about that. And they told me they didn't want to work for that little, and they wanted to have more control over their environment, their working environment, but also more importantly, perhaps, or very important, is the fact that we got so few minority candidates who would apply. And I'm not talking about we wouldn't interview them. We would do outreach programs to try to bring them in, and we could not get people to apply. And this is both in San Bernardino and up here in Northern California. And that was very frustrating for us because I am mixed race also. My mother is an immigrant from Mexico. My father is an immigrant from Ireland. So I understand what Diego was saying, and I understand what they've been talking about. But I don't have a solution for it except that
you need a bigger pool, as you say, Perry. Yeah, and I thank you for making those remarks and joining us. Looking at this, here's Mary who writes, I want to go to a couple emails here. Guest makes a good point about the graying of teaching, but remember, one-third to one-half leave the profession in 3 to 5 years. Recruiting diverse teachers will only work if districts train and support new teachers, so retention improves. I think also an important point. And I'd like to get your response to this email, Ulrich Boser. Benjamin writes, what hateful attitudes? What would you hear if we said white students do better when taught by white teachers? What you should say is, so what? Non-discrimination and color blindness, or what is right and just?
I mean, I would like to aspire that we live in a world that is totally colorblind, but the fact of the matter is that's not the world we live in right now. I think that is the aspiration of a lot of us, but when we look at indicators of economic inequality or just simply, you know, the fact of these gaps that we see in these school districts. It's very clear that, that people of color don't get the same opportunities as their white peers. And that's ultimately what's caused this problem. As the one of your callers pointed out, there's simply not a large enough pool. So,
however, in California now, we are in a majority of people of color. You know, I mean, it's now white people who are in the minority. I'm sure that you've heard that argument before.
But I've certainly heard that argument, and you guys certainly lead the nation. As I, you know, I'm calling here from Washington, D.C. You guys lead the nation. I mean, pretty soon, you know, we see that across the nation right now, where right now kindergartners are minority. But in terms of well-qualified people who are highly effective, you know, it's how are we going to attract those candidates, the people who were, as the caller pointed out, the previous caller pointed out, are taking AP courses in high school right now, but are not interested in pursuing teaching as a profession because they either see that the culture isn't right for them, they don't feel like they have the instructional supports, and also that they feel like the pay isn't adequate, right? So I think that's really where the nut of this is, and there are programs and policies that can help alleviate this problem. We're not looking for a one-to-one ratio here as much as to say, here's a problem that we've identified. There are things that we can do. Maybe it's increasing alternative teacher certification, making it easier for non-traditional candidates to come into the classroom. Perhaps there's someone who's working at a local store who really knows chemistry and you know can teach that AP chemistry course. Maybe it's a gym teacher who can come in and you know provide some early morning supports. Maybe it's reaching out to older people in the community who can come in and help teach reading to younger students. So I think what we're trying to do is identify a problem and say that the solutions are going to be very local in nature, nature to the community itself, but to try and build up a sense of community and social trust and cooperation is going to require us to do more to close this diversity gap.
Well, you're also talking about grassroots activism, I think, especially to reflect more the communities that are served. And if you've just joined us, we're talking to Ulrich Boser, who is senior fellow with the Center for American Progress. This is a pledge period, a run fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support this radio station, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. I'm going to go to another caller here, and let's welcome Sarah from Oakland. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'm a teacher, and I'm also a white woman, and I found myself very frequently the only white person in my classes. And although I do think I was able to connect with my students and really teach them good science, I do see the value of having our teaching profession more reflective of the students. And I think it's a worthy goal. And I can say that as somebody who's a white teacher of predominantly students of color. But I think that the challenge here is really to increase the pipeline. And this isn't just specifically recruiting people of color to become teachers, but to really think about why we're disincentivizing people to enter this profession. And how can we make it attractive and exciting? And not just the pay, but the working conditions in general for teachers are actually fairly terrible. And I'd love to hear how you think we could address that.
All right. Ulrich Boser.
I think your caller is absolutely right. And we see this in the data here, where working conditions are one of the crucial reasons that teachers of color also are leaving the classroom, that they don't stick around as much as their white peers. So there's a lot that we can do to help improve the working conditions. That means getting better principals who really support teachers, give them the feedback that we all want and need as professionals. Meaningful career ladders, I think, are really important. When we look at other professions, people rise up. Maybe you start as a salesman and then you go into management and then you know maybe you have a higher end executive position. And that allows us to grow our skills, to feel that we're being respected by our peers. In teaching, you really have a great difficulty doing that, right? So you can, you're a teacher or you can then go into administration. But I think that there's could be a lot of meaning in developing mentor teachers, in developing instructional coaches, to really think through what it means to be supported and develop the art and science of teaching. And this is important for all teachers, as your caller pointed out, but this is, I think, particularly important for teachers of color. How can we make those working conditions, the culture, the norms of school, particularly attractive to them?
And let me thank Sarah for her call and go right to another caller. Therese, you're with us on Forum. Good morning. Thanks
Good
for waiting.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I commend you on what you're trying to do. It is important. I am African American, and I'm almost 50. My entire elementary school grades, I had one black teacher, and I remember that teacher. And I remember thinking as a young kid, wow, he must be very smart, and he's black. I, you know, equated teachers being very smart, but I only saw one. Children do what they see. And if they come from a low-income area and they are minorities, they see a lot of bad things. So to go to school and see representation of them, it kind of helps the goal. I can do more. Not to take away from white teachers. We need all. But they do need to see more of them in the classroom.
All right. Therese, thank you for you. Enjoy hearing your opinion and appreciate you calling. Let me get to another caller, Masha Rika. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is, I'm wondering what the motivation was for focusing on diversity in the teaching force. Given that we know so much about the importance of strong school leaders, is there any discussion about perhaps expanding this study to look at the importance of diversity in school leader roles and also administrative roles within districts and across districts? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Not in your purview, really, is it, Norberg Bowser?
No, in this study, we did not look at that. But I think the question really highlights the importance of teachers of color serving as role models within a school. And so let's unpack that for a second, because I think a lot of students or maybe a lot of your listeners are thinking, you know, what we're advocating for is, you know, the person standing in front of the classroom, so that it has to be the chemistry teacher or it has to be the English teacher. But I think what's important to keep in mind is that teachers of color serve as role models throughout the school. So you might not necessarily have that teacher as your particular teacher, but you see them in the hallways. You understand that they are people who contribute to the school culture, that people can be successful coming from all backgrounds. And so, you know, having increasing the diversity of our administrators is also important, but it is something that we did not look at in this particular report.
I got to tell you, one of the most shocking things in this report, I'd never seen it highlighted as such, is when you talk about California, Massachusetts, and Florida, those three states accounting for 20% of all U.S. students.
Yes, so that is accurate. We looked at those states because they had district-by-district data, and that was something we looked at new in this report. And what was surprising was that the diversity differences were even larger when you looked at some of the districts specifically, and again, highlighting, you know, in some areas.
Yeah, some of those gaps are larger than those within the states themselves.
Absolutely.
Ulrich Boser, appreciate you being with us. Thank you for spending this time with us. Again, Ulrich Boser is Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress and an author on the report, Teacher Diversity Revisited, A New State-by-State Analysis. We are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Remind you, you can continue this discussion online by simply going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. And we always like to hear from you. If you have thoughts about what you've heard on Forum or would like to hear, simply email us, forum@kqed.org. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our interns are Jack Detch, Marisa Endicott, Maryam Jamil, Hannah Rose Levy, and Audrey Gertz. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.